Hi, I'm Dave DeWitt, and today I'd like to talk to you about why the rapture of the church is not the same event as the second coming of Christ. There's much teaching today which says there is no rapture distinct from the second coming. Especially, there is the claim that the events described in 1 Thessalonians 4:13 through 18 is just another description of the second coming. Today I'll list three of the passages that describe the second coming and three that refer to the rapture. The question dealt with here is not about the timing of the rapture, pre, mid, partial, mid, post. The question I'll consider here is, do these passages all describe the same occurrence? My conclusion is that the rapture and the second coming are, by observation, different events. First, the second coming of Christ. Here's Zechariah 14, 2-4, and then verse 6. For I'll gather all the nations against Jerusalem to battle, and the city will be captured. The houses plundered, women ravaged, half of the city exiled. Then the Lord will go forth and fight against these nations as when he fights in a day of battle. In that day his feet will stand on the Mount of Olives, which is in the front of Jerusalem on the east, and the Mount of Olives will be split in the middle from east to west by a very large valley, so that half of the mountain will move toward the north and the other half toward the south. In that day there'll be no light, and the luminaries will dwindle. Now here's Jesus' rendering of his second coming in Matthew 24:27-31. For just as the lightning comes from the east and flashes to the west, so will the coming of the Son of Man be. But immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened, the moon will not give its light, the stars will fall from the sky, the power of the heavens will be shaken, and the signs of the Son of Man will appear in the sky, and then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of the sky with power and great glory. And he'll send forth his angels with a great trumpet, and they will gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of the sky to the other. Here's the revelation to John in the book of Revelation, chapter 19, 11, and then 15 and 17 to 18. Here's 19:11. And I saw heavens open, and behold, a white horse, and he who sat on it is called Faithful and True and Righteous. He judges and wages war. And then Revelation 19:15, from his mouth comes a sharp sword, so that with it he may strike down the nations, and he'll rule with a rod of iron, and he'll tread the winepress of the fierce wrath of God the Almighty. And then in verses 17 and 18, then I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried out with a loud voice, saying to all the birds which fly in the mid-heaven, come assemble for the great supper of God, so that you may eat the flesh of kings and the flesh of commanders and the flesh of mighty men and the flesh of horses and those who sit upon them and the flesh of all men, both free men and slaves and small and great. Here's 10 observations about the second coming. Number one, it's an event predicted in both the Old and New Testament. It was an event Christians knew about. Number two, it'll occur immediately after a time of great tribulation on the earth. Number three, it'll be a public event witnessed by the whole world. Number four, it says the luminaries will dwindle. In other words, the visibility of the sun, moon, and stars will be darkened. Number five, Jesus comes to the earth on the Mount of Olives, which splits in two. Number six, the Son of Man will appear in the sky, and when he does, all the tribes of the earth will mourn. Number seven, angels will gather together elect believers from all over the earth. Number eight, Jesus will strike down the nations, and he'll rule them with a rod of iron. Number nine, the event will be an expression of the fierce wrath of God. Number 10, the deaths on the earth will be so extensive that the birds will be called to eat their flesh. Now some passages on the rapture of the church. John 14, 1-3, Jesus says, "Do not let your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you. For I go to prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also." 1 Thessalonians 4:13-18. "But we do not want you to be uninformed, brethren, about those who are asleep, so that you will not grieve as do the rest who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, then so God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words." And then in 1 Corinthians 15:51-52, "Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. We'll all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and will be changed." Now some observations about the rapture. Here's 10 observations. Number one, it's an event Christians were uninformed about from the Old Testament. Number two, knowledge of this event would bring peace of mind. Do not let your heart be troubled. Number three, it's an event where Jesus will come to receive believers to himself in the air. Number four, the event will take believers to a place Jesus is preparing for them, in my Father's house. Number five, the event is a mystery, something unknown to the Old Testament prophets. Number six, believers are told about this event so that you will not grieve as do the rest who have no hope. Seven, the event is about the bodily resurrection of believers, not killing of unbelievers. Number eight, living believers are caught up together with him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Number nine, believers are to comfort one another with these words. And 10, the whole movement of the event is up in the air, then to the Father's house, not down to the earth. Now, why the rapture cannot be the second coming? Here's a few reasons. Number one, the Old Testament prophets, Jesus and John and Revelation, all discuss the second coming in sequence with other end-time events, preceded by a tribulation and followed by an earthly kingdom. Nothing like the rapture is mentioned in any sequence passage. Number two, the second coming of Christ is not an imminent event. Many things must take place before it happens. The rapture is an imminent event. It can happen at any time. Three, the second coming is about war on earth, killing of multitudes of people, and regathering of the remnant of all 12 tribes of Israel to Jerusalem. The rapture is only for the church, which is a mystery not known to the Old Testament prophets, according to Ephesians 3:3-9. And number four, the rapture is about blessing, resurrection, deliverance, rewards. Second coming is about fear, destruction, death, and judgment. So my conclusion, if we read the Bible in a plain, ordinary way, according to the author's intended meaning, we're forced to conclude that the rapture and the second coming are distinctly different events. Thank you for listening. A longer paper on this subject with footnotes for the quotes is available on our website, relationalconcepts.org.